The devil is in the details. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't. Tell the truth and shame the devil. I think my mom actually used to use that last one on us kids a lot growing up. Well, this morning, the Holy Spirit is telling me it's time to tell what I perceive to be a truth about our reading from today's gospel. And let's pray I shame the devil in the telling. Billy Graham once said, there are two great forces, God's force of good and the devil's force of evil. And I believe Satan is alive and he is working, and he is working harder than ever, and we have many mysteries that we don't understand. In doing my research for today's sermon, and after freely admitting to myself that demons and devils and evils are mysteries that I don't always understand, I took down from my bookshelf the premier Anglican systematic theologian Macquarie's tome, The Principles of Christian Theology, published in 1966, and I looked up demon or devil. And in about six short paragraphs, for Macquarie at least, he tells us that demons do not exist in the same way as perceived by the earliest believers in Jesus. That in the modern era, he infers that demons in Scripture weren't literally demons, but were instead instances of undiagnosed mental illness or perhaps physical illnesses that manifested themselves in physical behaviors that we have since come to understand more deeply. I took from his interpretation that we modern people are so much more enlightened and well-informed than the earliest believers from the ancient world, and that we know better than to believe in evil personified because we are so much more enlightened, more highly involved than they were. Which reminds me of the famous quote from Baudelaire, the devil's finest trick is to persuade you that he doesn't exist. Now, to be fair, most preachers don't really want to talk about the devil or evil or demons or the challenges of the devil without using some sort of metaphor. I don't really want to preach about this morning, to be honest. But the Holy Spirit would not let me go, so here goes. So let's go back to the beginning of Mark's gospel. Jesus enters the synagogue where he meets a man who has an unclean spirit, who is appearing to be possessed by a demon. And the man says to Jesus, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, you the Holy One of God." And in Luke 8, from today's gospel reading, a demon shouts the very same thing to Jesus again. "What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And it is true that in both cases, in the ancient world, knowing the other's name was a way of holding power and dominion over them. Using names showed dominance. And in trying to hold power over Jesus, they used his name. And when Jesus asked their name, he used that knowledge against them, and they submitted to the power of the name of Jesus. Now, yesterday was a glorious day for the church. Our curate Sean was ordained at the Cathedral Church to the Transitional Order of Deacons, and maybe because of that, I am going to be speaking of a couple of stories from that same time in my life, but I'd like Sean to rise so that we can all applaud the newest brother in the church. So let me tell you of a time many years ago when I entered a period of discernment for my own priesthood. And when I used a prayer I had learned at a retreat just a few months before. Now, many of you know that before I became a priest, I worked as a carpenter at the Denver Art Museum. And when I worked as a carpenter, we built furniture, we built exhibit spaces, and for 3 years, my teammate Dave and I, we worked on the outside of the building, and that meant that we were on a deck scaffolding that's 16 feet long by 2 feet deep for 3 summers. And this particular period in time, I am in active discernment for the priesthood. And so my teammate and I are on this deck scaffolding, and I'm at the top, I'm 9 stories up, he's down on the ground 9 stories below, and we have walkie-talkies on our harness. And so we are communicating to one another while we're moving the cables that suspend the scaffolding from these big stainless steel hooks that were bolted to the roof of the museum. So we're on the western face of the building, and I'm looking west, and I can see the mountains. I can see the beautiful Colorado blue sky, and I have locked the door to the roof behind me. So I'm on the roof alone. My friend Dave is down 9 stories below. When we are moving the cables, and I hear a voice. Not like that, a little scarier. And the voice says to me, "Go ahead and jump." And I stop, and I take a step back, and I look around and think, did I lock the door? Yeah, I locked the door. And I shrug it off, and I look down at my teammate Dave below, making sure we're on the same path, same pipe, same cable. And again, the voice says, "Go ahead, it would be easy." And in that moment, I understood something Macquarie did not. These sorts of moments happen today, not just 2,000 years ago. And when I realized that I was being derailed and challenged from my path to the priesthood, I remembered the retreat I had been on, just so happened to be on 6 months before, where I learned a prayer of protection. So I took a step back and I closed my eyes. And I asked Jesus to come and surround me with his grace and his power, that the Holy Spirit would save me from such moments of challenge, and that the light of the Holy Spirit would surround me and keep me safe. These moments happen today, not just 2,000 years ago. Now, I believe that at that time in my life, I was working very hard toward making real God's love through my church relationships and my work relationships. I was spending a lot of time in prayer, in spiritual reflection and discernment, and my efforts were paying off, for I felt a peace come over places in my heart where before there had been no peace. And that's when the challenge came. Resources for Christians describes such moments as the enemy's goal is to deceive and distract you from the movement forward into the revelation of the Father's love, and then to hinder you from being a carrier of love to your family, ministry, and the world. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that you and I as believers, we are, each one of us, called to carry God's love to and for each other. And so it makes sense, to paraphrase my brother, the Reverend Graham, the devil is going to try to find ways to challenge the love of God right out of you. And that challenge can come in so many ways and in some surprising moments. One challenge might be someone writing a disparaging letter about you or someone you know. Or maybe it's about someone they don't like, just to hurt them or to hurt you or to cause anguish or distress or just to bully the faithful. The devil is trying to find a way to challenge the love of God right out of you. Another challenge might come in the destruction of a good and tender thing through gossip. And we all know that feeling we get when we're participating in gossip. Don't we all know that little voice in the back of our mind saying, you know, we probably should not be in this conversation right now. A little uncomfortable gossiping about someone or something. The purpose of gossip is to get you off the path of a tender goodness. The devil is trying to find a way to challenge the love of God right out of you. Another moment might happen as you're making great inroads of compassion or deeper faith in your life and relationships at work or through your ministry. Times when you're building up the kingdom of God in direct opposition to the ways that seek to tear down God's kingdom. And then something or someone will come into your life to test your faith, seeking to distract and discourage you from working toward having that compassion or a deeper faith. My brothers and sisters, the devil is trying to find a way to challenge the love of God right out of you. Sometimes a challenge comes when we forget we have been anointed as Christ's own, sealed by his love to be a child of God forever. We are going to be doing an anointing this morning of our little brother Toby. Hi, Toby. We are going to be anointing him with the chrism that the bishop blesses each year. And this moment of anointing is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this in my sermon. We are anointed as Christ's own forever. We are God's beloved. So I have to admit that sometimes it's easy to forget that we've been anointed, that we are God's beloved, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there was such a moment for me shortly after I started seminary. I was missing my friends from home. I missed my house, I missed my job, I missed my air conditioning. I was crying myself to sleep at night, really miserable. And I was wondering, what was I doing there? Why did I give all that up for no air conditioning in Chicago in the summer on the third floor? Then I blew out two discs in my back vacuuming. And 2 weeks later, a capillary in my right eye burst. A classmate from home said I needed to be blessed and anointed, like Sean and Keith do in the chapel afterward, that anointing with oil. And so they gathered me together, and we walked down to the chapel, and they set a chair up, and I was anointed through the love and the faith of my brothers and sisters in that seminary chapel. And in that powerful moment, I was reminded of the anointing I'd received in my baptism. I was reminded to rely on the name of Jesus to get me through the tough time of saying goodbye to my old life, to rely on Jesus to get me through the current time of testing and trial. I was called to remember that I did want to live my life so that Jesus would be proud of me. It's not complicated. I just want Jesus to be proud of me as a pastor. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning, or maybe you're listening online. I know we have a lot of people who listen to the sermons. And maybe you've had your own time of testing and challenge, or maybe you're going through that right now in this very moment. Jesus had and has the power to toss out on its tookie evil. Not some soft mamby-pamby metaphor kind of tossing out. I mean tossing it out. So much so that just the name of Jesus uttered out loud had and has the power to remove and destroy demons of yesterday and demons of today. My sisters and brothers in Christ, I really want you to hear this. Nothing will ever diminish or deflect the love God holds for you. Nothing. No powers and dominions, no behaviors of our own that we aren't necessarily that proud of. We will always be God's beloved. Nothing you say or whatever damaging or bullying someone else may say about you will ever take away the seal God's love has imprinted upon you. Nothing. You are God's beloved. You are protected simply through the name of Jesus. So I hope you noticed this morning, there's a line from Galatians which is St. Paul's take on that very same understanding. It's the last couple of sentences from our reading from Galatians. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So I want you to grab a prayer book this morning, and I want you to turn to page 779. 779. And there are, you know, I always try to teach as much scripture as I can in my sermons and to teach us to use our prayer books. And it is not listed as such in this version, but we use the New Revised Standard Version for our scripture passages in our lectionary on Sunday. And if you look through your NRSV, you'll see in italics under 121 what the prayer, what this psalm's purpose is. And this is a psalm of protection. So I want you all to read with me Psalm 121 this morning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, forevermore. And may all God's people say, Amen.